Republic Yemeni number one.
What is up, everybody? Mike Eshak back in LA, feeling good as fuck, man. Before we get things started, we have a sponsor, some Yemeni honey. Are you guys in the mood for some amazing honey coming from the other side of the world? My friends over at Sidderbees. Sidrbees. Listen, my family every once in a while will send me honey from Yemen. It's one of my favorite things. The honey from there is just, and I don't know what it is when I eat this honey. I don't know if it's just in my head, you know, or what. But man, that shit gives me energy. I get wired on this stuff. This stuff is amazing. I love it so much, and I'm glad that there's like a website now that I could buy this stuff from. And the two guys that are doing this, the two brothers, are doing a great job in sourcing some of the best honey coming out of Yemen. And you definitely visit their website, sidrbees.org, and copy one of these. I don't know what it is, man, but I remember when I had this in New York, because this is where I met them. When I was in New York, it was great. A lot of you guys know I was out there. All four of the Yemeni comics in the entire world happened to be in New York at the same time. Ali Sultan was there. You know, Ali Sultan is the big dog of the Yemeni comics right now. He's the guy who got on the Tonight Show. And so, you know, we went out there to support him, we had our own shows. Long story short, met a lot of Yemenis during this trip and met some really great guys over at the Kahwa House. And my boy Osama has this amazing honey. So you definitely should check it out and let them know I sent you. Look, I don't even mean to get whatever, but maybe it's just in my head, man. But it's just kind of like Viagra to me. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not even just saying that to say it. Look, I spilled the honey on the desk and motherfucker. I love honey so much. Anyways. Guys, we got a guest that's going to be calling in today, Jay Washington, who is a friend of mine, comedian, very outspoken dude, and he posted this video here. I'm going to slide over to it. Let's just watch this here.
A quote-unquote non-for-profit organization meant for veterans made sure they posted that because the killer's name was Salvador Ramos, he had to be here legally. So you're telling me anyone with a Hispanic, Spanish origin last name, 9 times out of 10 are here legally. And because that, they're automatically mass murderers. This is racism in its purest form and no other way to say it. But people want to keep believing that racism is a made-up thing and that people... Now, look, yes. Are there illegal immigrants in this country? Yes. Are there illegal immigrants everywhere in every country? Absolutely. But because a person's last name is of a Spanish descent, that means they're automatically an illegal immigrant because they were able to purchase a gun at the age of 18 in a state that decided to get rid of their background check laws? Make it make sense. No, I don't need to make it make sense. Let me tell you what it is. Like I said, it's racism, pure and simple. A quote.
And, you know, obviously that is racism. And I'm seeing a lot of it right now. Race seems to be the go-to tactic that fucking shitty people use to get what they want, you know? And it happens on all fronts. Like right now, it's the Republicans that are starting to, you know, deflect the gun debate with racism. And it's just like, come to fuck on, bro. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm like really happy I don't have children. I can't even imagine what it would be like to have a kid right now. You know, I mean, there's this video that I saw with Laura Ingraham. Let's see if I could pull it up. I tried getting it. I tried downloading it, but the site wouldn't let me. Let me see if I can get it to play, though, because it's just it's listen, I like guns. I think guns are awesome. And, you know, at the same time, I think they're terrible, right? Because, I mean, they're built specifically to kill people. But guns can be fun. And I think if guns are out there, we should all be able to have access to guns. And there's no sense in just keeping, you know, the good people who can protect themselves from protecting themselves. And then this is the thing that about this gun debate that's going to happen is, like, first off, nothing's going to happen. You know, Democrats are just going to play like they're going to try to do something, but nothing's going to happen. But I mean, there are people out there that really want to take our guns away. And I think that is something that we need to make sure never happens. I mean, you look at Australia, they took their guns away. And then look what happened during the pandemic. They put some of these people in concentration camps. Here's this Laura Ingraham video I want to share with you guys. Let's watch this really quick.
Parents are going through, and
she has her guest on here, who one of his child got shot and killed at the Parkland City, Florida school shooting, and Fox News likes to bring this guy around because he likes to blame the Democrats. He doesn't want to blame guns. He doesn't want to blame, you know, guns at all. He's one of those people that is going to be talking around everything possible in order to skirt the issue away from guns. Now, listen, like I said, I like guns and stuff, but it's just really to me. And if you watch this podcast, you know me, I like to suss out bullshit, but let's just try to listen to these bozos go out of their way to try to make the problem everything other than guns themselves. Let me get the screen. Share the screen real quick.
I know your heart is breaking for them tonight. Your reaction to what you've heard so far?
Laura, I'm so angry that I'm practically shaking right now at what happened.
Okay, first off, if you're going to tell people that you're visibly shaking on TV, you better start shaking, motherfucker.
What these parents have to deal with. And just thinking that my daughter was murdered, and we put a commission in Florida together to look into all the failures. And this district in Texas didn't learn anything of what happened with my daughter. How hard could it be to have a single point of entry and armed policemen or highly trained teachers at the school? Even the
okay. How hard could it be to have highly trained teachers at the school? First off, who the fuck wants to be a teacher? On top of it, you want them to be Navy SEALs? You want tactical teachers with bulletproof, capable of fucking doing a barrel roll out of a moving Camry at 35 miles an hour? The fuck are you talking about? To me, I just find it hilarious. You, this fucking bozo right here, is going to do everything he can to stick to this. No, guns are not the fucking problem. This whole tactical teachers thing is fucking dumb. I don't want teachers with a gun. You know how many fucking unhinged teachers there are? They're already not getting paid enough. You're just going to give them a gun? They'll fucking end up shooting them. We'll have no teachers because they'll blow their brains out. They'll realize what a shitty fucking career choice they chose. That they probably should have just got on OnlyFans. Now you want these fucking people, like, you already don't want to pay the teachers enough. Now you want tactical teachers? The fuck? Listen, man. The one thing I did like was the single point of entry. That seems pretty smart, right? Like, let's think about that. Like, if you had a school and there was only one point of entry into the school, and then you had, you know, guards in the front on that point of entry, making sure that every person that comes into that school doesn't have a weapon, which I think is stupid. I can't stand that kids are going to have to live through this right now. This anxiety fucking shit. It's a lot of anxiety for a child, man, to have to go through that. But, you know, listen, I'm always the type of person that likes to listen. And even though I disagree with this bozo who's just trying, he just seems like his head's all the way up the NRA's ass. The single point of entry is pretty interesting because that would minimize where you have to put your focus. You could just put your focus on this one point of entry into the school. Now, when I think single point of entry, I also think single point of exit. I hope that's not the case, right? So because what would suck is that there's an emergency in the school. You know, if everyone had to single file through one point of entry, you know, that could cause disaster. You know, it could keep people just be, I mean, there was this one video that's out there of a band playing at some bar, and it's one long video where a fire ends up happening inside the thing while they're playing, and then the fire spreads, and then everybody tries to run out, and the majority of the people burn to death inside the building because they all couldn't get out this single point of entry. They were all pushing each other so hard to get out and not keeping it organized because they were all panicked, and they just clogged up that point of entry, and they all perished. So, single point of entry seems like a very good, logical, easy to implement strategy till we get all these other things in order. But tactical teachers, go fuck yourself.
A single point of entry would prevent it. And it just angers me. This didn't have to happen today.
Well, Andrew, we're learning more as time goes on about this suspected killer who himself was shot and killed by the authorities on the scene. But I remember the first time you came on this program after this, your own horrific experience with tragedy. And the fact that we are still having these conversations about just putting, you know, barriers in place to make it harder for someone to gain access to a school, whether it's an intercom or bulletproof glass or one security officer. It is quite stunning that that's still in many communities. Maybe it's budget. Maybe it's a desire. I don't know. But
maybe it's just no desire. Maybe the majority of people would rather find a way to keep guns completely away. See, this is where I think a lot of people find it attractive to get rid of guns. Right? Because if we got rid of the guns, we wouldn't have to worry about this. The kids wouldn't have to go through the anxiety of single point entries and fucking teachers that know how to rappel out of helicopters, bulletproof backpacks. Have you guys seen these bulletproof backpacks, man? They got bulletproof backpacks and they're fucking popular. So kids are walking around with backpacks that are also bulletproof. It's just
a quote unquote non-for-profit.
Sorry. I hit the wrong tab. But and instead, these people here are just going to try to find every other excuse other than, hey, man, guns are fucking dangerous. How do we limit the amount of guns that are getting in the hands of fucked up people? They don't want to talk about that shit because, you know, this thing is so polarized. If you're liberal, you have to be completely anti. And if you're conservative, you have to be completely pro. And then you have the NRA that has these really, really fucked up lobbying tactics to keep gun reform from ever coming into play, you know, and I almost can see why they would implement these tactics, because there's people on the other side of the spectrum that are completely trying to move the needle all the way a little bit here and there till they get to a point where we eradicate all the guns. There's people, a lot of people I know, I can't get across to them that there's no getting rid of guns. and that, yeah, it's better to have people have the ability to protect themselves. I personally don't want a gun. I'm a Marine. I really don't give a fuck about guns. I really don't. I never really cared about guns. You know, they're cool and stuff, but I never felt compelled to have one. I still don't have one. I'm getting one tomorrow, though, because it took me forever because of this stupid background check. So now we're talking about background checks. I had to go through a background check. And look how fucking slow this shit was. They said you had to do a background check. You had to do this live scan thing. And then I did this live scan thing, and then it was supposed to come back, but it didn't come back for like 3 or 4 months. And then when it came back and I was cleared, I go ahead and call the gun store, and I'm like, hey, man, my live scan cleared. And they were like, nah, man, you got to do it all over again because there's a 30-day window from the day that you get your live scan to when you have to purchase the gun. So now you got to pay another $37 fee and do all these other fucking things again and run another background check. It's been 6 months and I still haven't gotten my gun. I'm a United States Marine. Honorably discharged. No criminal record. What the fuck? So to me, it's like I'm all about sensible gun laws, fucking making sure that these guns get in the right hands. I like the fact that I kind of had to do a background check. But man, how is it that the system's so damn slow that it says that I have to purchase a gun within the 30-day grace period of getting the background check, but then the background check takes 6 months, and then after the 6 months, they're like, ha, you got to do it again. That's not sensible. And yet an 18-year-old kid with fucking problems is able to just walk into a store. 18. Here's another thing. I think the fact that you're 18 years old and you could just buy an assault rifle. Well, it's not an assault rifle technically, but an assault style rifle. And he had armor. And apparently, I think the first person he shot was his grandmother. Then he went to the school and started blasting people. I think he shot his grandmother. It's one thing that I heard. I'm trying to look it up right now because I remember I was coming. I heard that just before we did this podcast. Before I started this podcast. Yeah, he shot her before going on the killing spree. Jesus Christ. And that motherfucker is just to get the gun. Listen, I personally, a thought that came to me was like, should we allow people who are 18 years old to buy a gun? Are you a fully formed human being? I was just thinking the other day about how dumb I was when I was young. How this one time I got into an argument with my friend Claudio and I punched him in the face. And I didn't want to punch him in the face, but we got into it and I did. And then it was one of those punches where I went to go punch him with an open hand because the part of me that threw the punch wanted to hit him, but then the part of me that was his friend couldn't make the fist. And in the process, I broke my fucking hand, snapped one of the bones in half. Serves me right. But when I thought about that, I thought about how dumb I was, man. I just did this knee-jerk thing that I didn't even think about until after I hurt myself. You gonna give that kid a gun? So, I don't know. Anyways, back to these fucking bozos.
They still don't have those safety mechanisms in place.
Oh, and what I advocate a lot is, because I get a lot of messages from parents, it's the parents. It's your responsibility where you send your children to school. You have to know now after these shootings, and every week there's a shooting, whether it's at a school or in a supermarket.
You have to know now that there's all these fucking shootings around. You know, the shootings are just fucking happening everywhere. Why ain't you doing your job as a parent and taking them to private school? Huh? You don't have enough money for private school? You poor? Are you poor? I just want someone to skull fuck this idiot. He's a fucker. Your daughter died, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm part conservative, but this guy's an idiot. The fuck is he talking about? There's all these fucking shootings everywhere. You know this fucking every day you turn it on is a school shooting. You're seeing it happening, right? It's because of these guns, but we're not going to blame the guns. We're going to blame the parents. Why are you sending your kid to that school? Oh, because that's where you live, and according to the zoning of your area, that's where you got to send your kid to school. So then why don't you just move? You don't have enough money to move? Fucking idiot.
That you need to check where your kids go to school. You need to go back to the school and see, is there a single point of entry? Do you have guards at the school? I got a message tonight, made me feel kind of good, from someone. They told me thanks. They thanked me because they listened to me, and they took their kid out of public school and put him in a private school.
Oh, wow. Must be great to just easily be able to just pay for private school. Ha ha. Thank you for the idea, guy. Rich guy. Fuck.
Because a lot of these private schools, they take security way more serious. So, parents.
All right. So, when I hear a moron like this, that's when the left is going to fucking win for me. That's when the left is going to actually make their point, you know? Because actually, I cannot believe it. That's the thing. In about 7 minutes, I got my boy Jay calling in. I want to tap into what he wants to say. But here is a tweet that kind of also puts into perspective how the right is doing this. So here is Republican Congressman Paul Gosar's tweet. We know already, fool. It's a transsexual leftist illegal alien named Salvador Ramos. It's apparently your kind of trash. Now, this is a response to someone who is obviously anti-gun. And this idiot, congressman, already got a bunch of shit wrong. Transsexual? Apparently, maybe from what I heard, Ramos considers, okay, but then you see this, it's loaded. It's just they're trying to blame everything other than the gun. Well, it's trans people. Leftist. Oof. Damn, what a triggering word for people who like guns. Illegal. Alien. He's not. He was a citizen of the United States of America, born and raised, if I'm not mistaken, and acquired the gun legally because he's a citizen in a state that increasingly makes their background checks way easier. So it's so easy to get a gun in Texas. The conservative in me is like, that's great, because someone like me, who wants a gun and is qualified to have a gun, I think it would be great if I could just get the gun. But yet at the same time, man, can't be all fucking lackadaisical to the point where you just keep having all these school shootings. So yeah, I'm right there with my buddy Jay, because, you know, you got this motherfucker, all these motherfuckers trying to blame race. Let's go to the comments and see what everyone is saying today. See, single point of entry, single exit, fire department won't go for it. Yep, that's what I said earlier. Believe it or not, Sammy the Bull made some good points that would help issues. Hell, him and franchise on mafia states of American brought up other good points. Well, listen, for me, I'm not going to lie. They say it takes a good guy with a gun. And I saw one of my friends post a thing. Ooh, where was the good guy with the gun? Yeah. Well, it turned out to be a border agent. Off duty, one who is trained tactically trained to handle situations like this. he's the guy that got in there and shot Ramos. Also got shot in the process. This guy's a fucking hero. That's the good guy with the gun. Also, the other cops from that actual police department, that I guess they were not having any luck with getting past his armor. But this off-duty agent came in there and saved the freaking day. Somebody needs to get that guy a blowjob. He deserves it. Even if he has a wife, his wife should just sit there and watch him get it and say, you deserve it. Because he does. Got some fucking real man shit right there, man. I commend that motherfucker. Let me make sure that... I just got to check my messages. I just want to make sure that... that Jay is not saying that he's not. Okay, cool. So in about 3 minutes, we should get Jay calling in. You guys have any questions about this stuff whatsoever or any points? Because I think that single point of entry thing is a pretty damn good idea. It seems like a very, very simple, easy thing to implement in these schools. And I think a lot of like people that lean left don't even want to implement that stuff because then that's them saying guns are here to stay and none of them want guns here to stay. So none of them want to implement some of these safety measures so that more fucking people get killed. So then they can be like, hey, we got to get rid of the guns. Everybody's got their hands in some type of fucking pocket, man. Everybody wants something. These bulletproof backpacks, man. I mean, how the fuck could you have a kid today, man? I got to hand it to you people that are parents, bro. You know, like more and more Zoom class is starting to seem way, way, way better. I don't know. To me, it is absolutely amazing how all we do right now is just use race to end every freaking argument. You see it already with that tweet. The transsexuals, they already call them an illegal alien. All these other like groups on Instagram posting, hey, well, this is what happens when you let illegal immigrants in. Mind you, almost everybody that's fucking shooting things up, it's a white dude. So it's just, it seems like we are specifically legit divided. We are divided so much. Dude, this honey is everywhere, and I fucking love it. Literally, I got it all over my desk, and all I'm doing is licking it as I'm... This whole fucking desk is fucked, but Yemeni honey, baby. Yeah, see, Alex, my man Alex is in here watching. He goes, or private school. Look, maybe... Here's the thing, man. This is the thing that really pisses me off, Alex, is that when not everyone can afford private school, you know? So to me, that argument there is like something that really like blows me away. It's like, oh, yeah, just send your kid to private school. I mean, the majority of people don't even want to think about doing that, you know, and that's why I think that a lot of people will literally just lean on, hey, let's just get rid of guns. Because to be honest, even though I think guns are important, because they're here. You're not gonna fucking magically disappear guns. Well, this is Jay. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Jay Washington. What's up, Jay?
What's good, man?
Not much, bro. Just sitting over here rapping about what is going on, and, you know, latching on to how once again people are using race to end the discussion. Now, whether it's for guns or anything, it seems to be race seems to be the easy go-to. And I just showed everybody your video and I just wanted to get your take on it, man. How are you feeling about what's going on right now?
Well, you're absolutely right. First and foremost, like, race is always the go-to. Race is always the quick, it's the quick cop-out, if you will.
Right.
You know, and when you say race, you got to remember it's every other race but the one that you need to discuss. because when it's the one we need to discuss, it's always quickly labeled as a mental health issue.
Right.
When it's not. When it's not. Let's look, there are people who suffer from real mental health issues. I myself suffer from anxiety, depression, all that other stuff. There are people that suffer from schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact remains, when you have people who commit actions and acts of violence like this, now, yes, this guy in Texas was not a white guy. I understand that. But stop going to the level of race, just like the post I put on Twitter. Stop making fun, oh, was he an illegal immigrant? No. We're not going to do that. Dude was born in, like, North Dakota.
That's right.
Whiter than the snow that falls in North Dakota.
Right. So he was really white on the inside. That's the problem.
Right. He's white on the inside, and you have that happen a lot of times. You got people who they see their outer complexion, but the inside don't reflect, they don't match, they don't match. And so you got this situation now where people want to say, oh, he had to be an illegal immigrant. Nah, he was an American. But the problem is, I've always said this. America is the only country where Americans try to prove they're more American than other Americans. It's the only country in the world that does that.
Oh, you think so? We're the only country in the world where our jingoism is on a level where we try to out-compete and out-jingo each other?
Absolutely. Dude, look at it like this.
You don't think other countries do that?
I believe other countries do it, but I don't think they do it on a vocal level in which we do it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Let me say it like that then. Let me make sure I include that, because we put on the level of what America does is if you criticize the government, the Constitution, law enforcement, et cetera, oh, you're not American. You don't love America. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm entitled to do all these things and question it. Stop saying these inalienable rights and all these rights and et cetera, are God's gifts, because they're not. They're given by man. The Constitution was written by man. The Declaration of Independence written by men. And I can go on and go on. But when it comes to situations like this, with this shooting, again, this is Sandy Hook 2.0. Everybody knows what the deal is. You got people who don't want to say, well, let's not talk about gun control because it's about the people that have the guns. That is fair. I'll give you that. But guess what? If the one thing wasn't in the equation, then we wouldn't have to talk about the people.
Well, what's the one thing that's in the equation? Because earlier you said the one race that we need to focus on. Are you specifically talking about white people?
So primarily, let me not say solely, primarily we need to focus on. Look what just happened in Buffalo a couple of weeks ago.
Well, yeah, I think we definitely need to focus on, you know, this idea of these white supremacists starting to flex. And
right. But I'm going to go, but like I said, I won't say that solely. I'll say primarily. But then at the second of it, look, people want to be all, how do I want to say, people want to be all, oh, you're not going to take my guns. I'm going to have my guns. What besides a penis measuring contest do you need an assault rifle for? Because you get people who sit there and go, well, I want to protect myself, my family, in case the government tries to blah, blah, blah. Bro, you're not going to stop the U.S. military, you in the back of a shack. It's just not going to happen.
Well, you'd be surprised, Jay. You'd be surprised, man. I think a lot of people think that. But then here's the thing. Guerrilla warfare goes a very long way. And I think a lot of people don't really realize, because I used to be in the military, man. You know, people scattered around with guns, not easy, buddy. It's not an easy thing. And that's the key to the Second Amendment, is that it's not that a government could just not come in here and obliterate everyone. But, bro, we make it not easy because we sting, man. And guerrilla warfare goes a long way. Look at places like Lebanon. Look at Lebanon. Look at Lebanon. Hold on a second. Look at Lebanon. Back in the 1980s, Israel invaded Lebanon to secure and steal their water. And those people over there were farmers. They don't even have tanks, planes, missiles. And they, out of their own ingenuity, figured out a way. They're the ones that invented the suicide bomber. And Israel has been having such a hard time with their might and their power of controlling that area. Same thing with Palestine and other places like that. So to me, I don't buy that argument that not having a gun, having that a population that has a gun has guns, it doesn't do anything. And I think that's not the case.
Well, I agree. First and foremost, I agree with you when you talk about guerrilla warfare. I do understand that. I do understand that we have many men and women who were our former military, you know, many who are wildlife trained per se and can handle itself in situations. I get all that. I will not dismiss any of that. However, you have this scenario now where we've seen what a problem has become. Here, let me just say here. Let me just use America, plain and simple, right?
Sure, sure.
We see what this issue has become here, and of course, everyone will compare to Australia and certain sure. other countries and how they handle things and whatnot. Sure. And that could be a good blueprint by all means, yes, indeed. But when you sit there and have a situation that happens over and over right. and over again,
right.
the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Right.
And what's the case here? We're expecting to say, oh, well, let's just make stricter quote unquote gun laws, or
right.
let's just protect it and make sure we do all these thorough background checks, et cetera, et cetera. We're consistently bringing the same things up over and over again, but yet we keep having these situations.
Do you think getting rid of guns is the answer?
No, not getting rid of all. See, again, not guns in itself. I'm talking about when you have people with assault rifles. You know, when you have the average common person buying assault rifles, and some do it, for lack of better words, in bulk.
But here's the thing, buddy. But here's the thing. I think this is where a lot of people get confused with the term assault rifles. A civilian cannot buy a quote-unquote assault rifle. So there are long rifles that shoot singular okay. shots. So, for example, an M16 is an assault rifle. It shoots automatic right. or it shoots 3-round burst. Another thing that makes it an assault rifle is that it has a muzzle flash suppressor, meaning that if you were to be at nighttime shooting with the gun, you won't get that big flame at the end of your barrel. And that's an assault rifle. You cannot get that as a civilian. Okay. As a civilian, you can okay. only get the version that shoots one round at a time. And when you do shoot, you're going to see your muzzle flash so that if somebody tried to use it, anybody could see where their position was. Now, it is, say, an assault-style rifle. It looks like an M16.
Okay. I was going to say that. Thank you for the breakdown of the difference.
Yeah,
so that's what I mean more so than anything. Okay, since assault rifle is a specific term, and that becomes is because assault rifle has become the quote unquote broad term in regards to any type of weapon, you know, larger weapon. Let's be honest. So for you to break it down, I appreciate that.
I think the issue is assault style rifles. So these yeah. are like rifles yeah. that look like an M16. But they don't operate exactly like an M16. But at the same time, even though it only shoots one round, it's still as deadly and as accurate as an M16. Mm-hmm. So it is still dangerous. And I totally understand where people like you are coming from. Like, do we really need that? Well, I don't know. I think that like a conservative would say, and even I would say, the conservative side of me would kick in and be like, well, it's not a matter of do you need it at the moment, but when you need it.
So with that analogy, it's sort of like insurance. I get that. Insurance is, you know, you don't know when you need it, but when you do need it,
yeah.
I get that.
Because I had one of those. I had one of those rifles, bro, because I used to be in the Marines, and I'm not really into guns. Mind you, I was a Marine. Not really into guns, Jay. I'm not that into guns. But I did have that assault-style rifle. I had it, the AR-15. And I ended up selling it after a couple of years because I realized this is overkill. I don't really need this. I don't go out and shoot it that often. And for me personally, I think a handgun was the most logical thing for me to go for, because the way I looked at it is the only time I'm ever going to use it is to protect myself in my home, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, shouldn't we still give the freedom for good people to still be able to, you know, have a sensible amount of guns if they want it and be good with it.
Here's the problem with that question. It's that phrasing, because we don't know when you say good people. And this goes in regards to anybody. Everybody at initial perception to anybody is a good person until they show otherwise. Let's just be real.
Right.
No matter who it is.
Sure.
So, you know, you can have these back. You can. I even brought up background checks. You can have all these. And we've heard of situations where there are background checks and the person still acquires a firearm, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
We always say you don't know. No one knows exactly who or what a good person is out the gate. No one does.
Sure.
You don't know someone's motives. You don't know someone's mindset, things like that.
But have you also...
Sometimes when you find out, it's too late.
True. I know that. I mean, but that's just how, you know, we can't... Here's the thing. It's like, are we going to get rid of cars because some guy's going to become an alcoholic one day?
So here's the thing about that. So I really kind of... I hate that expression because everyone goes, well, cars kill people, will knives kill people, et cetera, et cetera.
But they're not made to kill people.
They aren't made to kill.
Right.
They are used to kill.
But I understand that. But here's the thing, though.
And I think a lot of people don't get that when they use that analogy. You don't drive a car with the, even unfortunately, and we all know no one should drive under the influence. Let me make sure I preface that. We all know when you drive a vehicle, whether under the influence or not, you are not going with the intention to kill anybody. And that's 99.9% of the people, right? We got that.
True.
When you buy a set of knives to cook in your home, you're not buying knives with the intention of killing something.
True.
Or not even just say people, with something.
True. True. A gun is specifically designed to effectively kill a human.
Right. That's the difference in that scenario.
You know, the funny thing is that, like, if you really think about it, man, a lot of people that I know that own guns are very responsible. The majority of gun enthusiasts.
Oh, absolutely.
Gun enthusiasts are so responsible with their guns. You know, and when I talk to them, a lot of them have such a very, very good, pragmatic mindset about it, where they're just like, hey, man, I have guns in my house, and all my kids know where they are. They all know how to load it. They all know how to unload it. They all know how to have muzzle awareness. They all know how to operate and handle these things safely. They respect the gun. You know, and to me, it's like I see a lot of people like that, and I can see how people like that are kind of like, how are you going to take my guns away? A guy who like collects guns and hasn't killed one person with those guns? You know,
here's the averse to that. What is the thing people say all the time when you primarily hear black people talk about violence within the police station towards minorities or the excessive use of force, like all these things when it comes to the police force? What's the number one thing they say? It's just a few bad apples.
Well, it is true.
The same thing unfortunately applies with firearm owners. It's a few bad apples. And of course, that those bad apples unfortunately reflect on the whole.
Yeah.
It's the same with the police force.
Yeah, I see that argument also enlightening the fact that, like, hey, you say it only takes a few bad apples, but it only takes one bad apple to kill 30 people with a gun.
Exactly.
See, this is the thing, man, is I'm all over the place when it comes to this, because I lean more conservative with guns, but I'm a liberal. So there is a liberal part of me that's like, yo, we just need sensible gun laws. Just add them to the mix, please. And, you know, I was listening to Laura Ingraham have the father of the daughter that was killed at the Parkland City school shooting years back. And he's a pro-gun guy. And they're all on there. The whole segment, they're just doing everything they can to blame everything other than the gun, right? So, and I'm listening to this, and I was just breaking it down before you called. And it really, really pissed me off just how hard they were going out of their way to skirt around the issue that guns are also part of the freaking problem. But I will say this, he did bring up a really good point. And he said that there are sensible things that we could do to schools right now that could help protect this from ever happening. And one of the things he brought up was a single point of entry, that every school should have one point of entry, and therefore it's easier to manage. What do you think of that?
The problem becomes you start making schools feel like prisons.
Exactly. Yes.
You grew up in Detroit. I grew up in Chicago, man. Most of our schools already had metal detectors.
Sure.
Already. And the more and more you add, instead of it becoming a place of learning for children,
it's a place of anxiety.
It's anxiety just because of the scenario in which you're putting them in.
Even those drills they do. Those drills, from what I was reading, drills don't do much but just cause anxiety.
But again, that's something people don't talk about and put into perspective either. Look at the point where we've gotten, where schools now have to hold school shooter drills.
I know.
We're cool. We've always been cool with schools holding fire drills.
Yeah, tornado drills, right. Right.
Earthquake drills, right. Et cetera.
Right.
But now, because this has become such a... And school shootings have become a pandemic within themselves.
Bro, there's bulletproof backpacks now.
Right.
And they're highly popular. Now,
highly popular. We're allowing for students to have to go to school instead of, I got to study for a test. I get to talk about this TV show.
Now I got to learn how to barrel roll.
I got to learn how to barrel roll, how to barricade myself in the case of a school shooter. A school. You are not training in law enforcement, the military, you know, any type of medical profession. In school.
Let me ask you this, though. For example, here in L.A., it's taken me 6 months to get a gun, and I still haven't gotten it. Because the background checks here are so fucking ridiculous. They're ridiculous to a point where it really fucked things up. So during the pandemic, not too long ago, I live in a pretty nice area, man. This area is nice. And all of a sudden, the guy below me got robbed at 10 o'clock in the morning at gunpoint. Okay? And right then, that's when I was like, all right, bitch, time to get a gun. And I'm a Marine, honorably discharged, no criminal background or whatsoever. I thought it was going to be easy. They're like, nope, you need to get a background check. Get the background check. The background check doesn't come in for fucking 3-4 months. And then I called the gun shop today, and they were just like, oh, well, you got to do the background check all over again. I was like, why? They go, well, you have a 30-day grace period from the day you start the background check to get your results. I'm like, well, the government took longer than that. They're like, well, not our fault. Got to do it again. So now I got to pay money again to do another background check, and I have no idea what's going to happen next, and it's just pissing me the fuck off where I'm just like, come on, man.
So what they're doing, when you break that down, what it sounds like to me and to maybe anybody listening, that's that try to, you know, deter you from wanting to get it. They drag the process out to the point where somebody, now not everybody's going to say it, but some people may just be like, fuck it, I don't want it.
I'm almost at that point. You know?
But you get what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
But now here's the thing, though. But here's the thing, though. There's a part of that process that pisses me off that kind of wish Ramos went through. That kid who got that gun. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if they gave him a hard-ass time, he might have fucking changed his mind. Or somebody would have figured something out about him before anything could happen. That motherfucker shot his grandma first. You know that, right?
No.
The first person he shot was his grandmother. He got into an argument with her, pulled it out, blasted her ass, and then went to the school, started to shoot people.
That makes this even more terrifying, because here's the thing with stuff like that. That makes you, when you hear somebody like that, it lets you know there have been warning signs of a person like that. There is tipping. It is very rare, if I'm not mistaken, from all the stories I've ever read, In situations like this, it's very rare that someone that does a mass shooting has not had a bunch of warning signs.
Right. Right. You're right.
It's extremely rare. And so to have a bunch of people, you know, to now be like, man, there were signs, blah, 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 this and the third. When do we start taking that into consideration as well?
Sure. Bro, I'm conflicted,
just as much
man.
As we talk about, just as much as we talk about background checks and all these different things, yeah, fine. You want to make sure you're putting firearms in a responsible owner's hands. I get it. I got that. I'm with it. Cool. You're taking the, that's the number one thing everybody says, let's make gun laws. And when you try to do different things, it's fair. But now, these people that are getting the guns and that are committing these acts, it's all, it never fails. Well, there were warning signs. Somebody sent out, they sent somebody a text message.
Yeah.
They had a, they posted on social media.
Yep.
And there's, it's never taken serious.
Nope. It isn't. And yeah, go ahead.
That's an issue. And that's an issue. You got to start taking those moments because it's again, it's insanity doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. You keep hearing about these situations where people have been like, hey, I think this person may do something crazy. And now you have those local authorities like, well, whatever. And next thing you know, they turn around and become a situation like what happened in Texas.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, because I'm going to get to these random questions before we let you go, I just wanted to know, what do you think a good solution would be for all this?
Man, I'm going to be honest. It's hard. I try to think of what would be the best because of, you know, people wanting to hold their constitutional right. And but also what has been an ongoing occurrence all too regularly. Again, when it says the assault style weapons, I think it needs to be a ban on those for sure. Because, again, a regular civilian, like you stated, cannot buy an assault weapon. These assault-style weapons are causing the damage and the destruction. And again, make it where if you're going to specify, there's got to like these checks and things like this when it comes to people. It's so layered, bro. It's so layered because you want people to say, okay, do I still have this right? But again, when I like I stated earlier, all of your rights, all of everybody's rights, even me as a black man being free in this country, are given by men. Every single right we say in this country is not God-given. It's man-written.
Yep.
And so we have to be willing to... Again, that's what the Constitution has amendments for. We're willing to go off the piece of paper that gave us these things, add things that will change certain things, and again, it will amend them and make things better. Because, look, America's going through mass shootings because the day ends in Y, and something's got it, bro. Something's got to give. Whereas you got to realize again where the problem is. Yes. A gun is only as dangerous as the person utilizing it.
Sure.
But if it's not available to be utilized, look, a handgun can cause damage and can take lives. Again, I've seen it happen. You know, yes, we understand.
Yeah, I mean,
carrying these assault-style rifles.
I personally think that the assault-style rifles are, you know, I'm not concerned about those. They're already going to be out there. You're not going to be able to really bad. They're just going to be out there. I think what needs to happen is background checks, maybe not as slow as the one I went through. And also I do advocate for this, and I don't think anybody's bringing this up. I always felt this should be the case. If you get a gun and you get the background check and you're clear to take that gun home, you can take the gun home. But I say that you have a 30-day grace period where you have to get trained and certified with that gun to keep it.
I agree, and I'll add a small caveat to it. There needs to be a psyche valve.
Well, yeah, no, that's part of the background check. Is fine. Okay. Of course.
Okay, cool.
Of course. Yeah. Yes, of course. But my point is that not only do I think that we have to give guns to sane people, we have to teach people how to properly use a gun, load a gun, clean a gun, store a gun, how to properly hold a gun, how to keep your finger off the trigger when you're holding it until you have to shoot it, how to make sure you don't point the gun at people. These are very, very simple yet very effective educational tools that I'm afraid that a lot of people just go home with a gun and they don't have muzzle awareness. They don't know to keep their finger off the trigger. And that's where these accidents and dumb shit happen.
But bro, you're talking about, but you're putting that context into people who are going to be responsible owners. Though that's different than those that are going out to cause calamity. You get what I'm saying?
No, but I know that. But imagine if you got that gun, right? And you had to go through a class to keep that gun. Now, I think that's the route to go. Because once you pass the background check, once you pass the psych eval, I say you have to take a class to get certified with that gun in order to keep it. Otherwise, you got to turn that motherfucker back in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes absolute sense.
You know, because I don't mind people having guns. I don't like, one, crazy people having guns, and two, good people that have no idea how to use a gun having guns.
Yep, the people that, yeah, that's true. Now, that's another thing a lot of people don't talk about, because you might have a good-ass person who has a great heart, but if you put a firearm in their hand, they're just as dangerous
as
somebody who is going out to try to cause destruction.
Bro, a lot of people are fucking stupid. Let me tell you a real quick story before we go to these random questions. Back in the day, I had a girlfriend, and I had that assault-style rifle, the AR-15. I took her to the rifle range to shoot it, because I was like, baby, if we're going to have this in the house, you're going to have to need to learn how to use it and respect it, right? So, because I'm a former Marine, Marines are trained to have a level of anxiety every time we hold a gun. They train us to make us feel that even though you took all the bullets out of it, you have to handle it like a bullet could magically appear. So we're very, very safe with it. When I took her to the rifle range, I gave her this powerful rifle. I only allowed her to have one round in the rifle at a time, because I wanted to make sure that there was not another round in there if she lost her fucking shit, right? Or maybe she couldn't handle the gun. What if she shot it and it flew off of her hand and then it hit the ground and then another round went off? So you're talking about a Marine who's highly trained with the rifle, and you saw how I approached it with my girlfriend. That same week, bro, on the news, some fucking bozo idiot went to the rifle range with his kid, who was like 8 or 10 years old, and he gave the kid a fully loaded Uzi, and the kid went to go shoot down range, and then because of the kickback, the Uzi flipped around and shot the kid. So basically the kid shot it and couldn't hold it, and it came around and shot. And that's right. That's the point that I'm trying to make when I say that we should be educated, because good people that don't know how to use guns can be just as dangerous. So
yeah,
we agree with that. I'm going to come to these real quick. I like to end this with some random questions, bro. These are random questions that I picked out of nowhere. All right. Question number one, Jay, who in your family can't you believe you're related to?
Ooh, that would have to be my Uncle Kent, my Uncle Kenneth.
Oh, yeah?
Like, he's, you know, before I knew what autism was, he's always been on the spectrum. Before we knew what it was, and he's always been that way, and it was like, I thought it was different. Everybody else was just like, how is he in family? It always was that question. And I say this as someone whose daughter is on the spectrum, because again, growing up in the household before it was called autism, it was just like, oh, you special, you touched,
you touched
forward, all these other things, you touched. And so it was like, nah, how's he in the family?
Yeah, he might not be. He might be an imposter, bro.
But he's in the family. You know, I know he's in the family. I just couldn't believe it growing up, though. Like, you know, like, well, I'm not 100% sure.
All right, another question. I think this one here is good. This is a good one for you. I picked this one specifically for you because you're definitely someone that I think this fits. What is the quickest way for you to lose respect for someone?
Throw dirt on their name when they've never done anything wrong to you.
Yeah, for sure. Motherfuckers that be just talking shit.
talking shit about people, slandering people, throwing people under the bus.
Yes.
Just for no reason, just to try to get up or get ahead on something. Like, if I know a person, if I see somebody talking about shit about somebody I know is just a good person legitimately, like, they're a good-hearted person. They haven't done anything. No one else has a bad thing to say about them. But you found a reason to try to throw them under the bus, I instantly lose all respect.
Yeah. That's kind of like how I lost respect from my ex-girlfriend. I broke up with her when I caught her in a lie. And then her son was in the room, and then her son was like, nah, he called her out, and then she threw her son under the bus. I was like, God damn, bro.
God damn.
All right, one more, bro. What uncommon thing would you like to see become more common?
Black men having their mental health talked about.
What's that?
Black men having their mental health talked about.
Oh, you mean
now only in general, because black men only speak on mental health when they are celebrities. When they're in the black community, it is common to say you want to go see a therapist. You want to go to therapy. You want to talk to somebody. You're on antidepressants. You're on anti-anxiety meds or antipsychotic meds. It is very, very taboo.
Yeah.
It is still looked at what you need to go talk to somebody for.
Yep.
And
yep.
I wish it was more commonplace for the average black dude. I don't give a damn if you are a regular dude in the hood or a thug. It don't matter. I wish it was more commonplace, and it didn't need to be, hi, I'm a professional athlete this, or I'm an actor here, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm just a regular person.
Right. That's the same thing with Arab. Arabs and black people have a lot of parallels when it comes to especially stuff like that. There's a lot of shame that comes around having to get help for your mental health. Because in like an Arab community, it's like, you should have already, you're a man. Be a man. Just suck it up. You know?
Yep.
Which is bad, because honestly, I think me and my dad would have had a really great relationship to this day if he would have got therapy. My dad was just one of those guys. He turned into a terrible human because he should have got therapy, but he was just too Arab and too prideful to do it, you know?
Leaving everything bottled up. I literally, about an hour before we started this call, had a conversation with my son, because I'm currently in Indianapolis for my son's graduation.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. My son was in my hotel room hanging out with me for a minute. I'm going to go hang out a little bit if he ain't sleep now. But we were talking. I was like, yo, I understand you. Because we've had discussions about him, and I've had discussions about him being under anxiety, depression, things like that. And I told him, as you matriculate into college, do not ever feel ashamed if they offer therapy sessions to talk to someone to use it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I told him openly, do not ever be ashamed. I had him look. I have my meds that my doctor prescribed, my anti-anxiety med, my anti-depression med, and all that. And he was like, oh, for real? Yeah, for real.
That's great, Jay. I think that's great. That shows that you're a good father, man, because you're a very strong individual, you know? You got a persona that's very, very, a very strong persona. And to hear a black man like you be like, hey, I'm working on myself too. I think it's very important, and I think it's a great thing that your son is able to witness that, because you're showing him humility, and I think that's powerful, bro. It's powerful.
That's all I know how to do, bro. Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Thank you, bro. Thanks for being on the podcast, man. And that's why when I saw your post this morning, I was just like, yo, man, I got to get him on here, because I already wanted to talk about this to begin with. So. Hey, before I let you go, man, you want to go ahead and plug everything, man. Plug everything.
Sure, man. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all those socials at Mr. J Washington. MRJAY. You should know how to spell Washington. You want to listen to me talk about comic book movies and TV shows as far as Marvel and DC? I'm the host of the Mad Titan podcast. On everywhere you get the podcast from, like I said, I get you caught up on all those things, man. It's Barbershop Talk for Nerds. Come on and holler at me.
Yeah, Jay is a star, everyone. Check him out, man. He is making moves. You're going to be seeing this guy everywhere. He's also going to be on Showtime, right?
Well, man, I'm waiting until it comes out. Yeah, let me just go. I'll just say it. I don't care. I'll be on an episode of American Gigolo whenever that drops, whenever they get their situation and finish filming, because, man, they done lost showrunners and everything.
Oh, man. Oh, it's one of those things, huh? Shit.
Yeah, it's been going through some changes, so we'll see if it drops.
Yeah, we'll see, bro. I look forward to it when it does, man. All right, Jay. Thank you so much, brother.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
Peace. That was Jay Washington. Hope you guys enjoyed that little discussion. You know, I think it's I love having discussions like this, even though, like, you know, there's some things that I might not agree with. But I'm at that point right now where, like, the conservative gun guy in me is starting to go, ugh, you know, maybe we need to start looking at the guns a little bit, you know? I don't know. But anyways, guys, I got to get going. What did she say? Oh, technically, I thought you broke up because of her eyebrows. I didn't break up with no girl because of her eyebrows. I break up with them because of their lack of integrity. And then I'm like, man, fuck these eyebrows. Anyways, all right, guys. This is kind of a long one. Thank you guys for tuning in. And like I said, if you guys are listening to this, I would love to see, because I see more of you guys are listening to the audio version than actually watching it live. If you guys find time during your day, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, sometimes I change it because the schedule changes. You can check my Twitter and my Facebook for that. And like I said, I am shadow banned on Instagram. It's hard to find me. So now I'm just pushing my website. MikeFromDetroit.com. It's also MikeEshack.com. Same place. Go there, and all of my social links are there. Find me on your favorite social media platform. Connect with me. I also hope I see you guys at one of my shows. Join my emailing list. All you got to do is text the word Mike to 206-207-5422. That's text Mike to 206-207-5422. Answer the three questions: your name, your email address, and your zip code. That way, I can reach out to you when I'm in your town. I would love to see you guys live. And until next week, guys, peace out.